Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
So for those of you who don't know me, that's okay, I don't blame you. You almost never see me, because I'm usually in Theater 4 or Theater 5 with the little kids. Some of them aren't so little, but I'm in there teaching them about God and how awesome He is and just the amazing things that God has done in their life. And although kids' ministry can be really hard and frustrating, it can really be rewarding. We just finished a series on growing your friendship with God and growing your relationship with God. And last week we talked about baptism. And it was really encouraging and super cool because there were a few kids that actually want to get baptized. And super cool because then we have the mashup service and the baptism service on the same day, and I'm just so excited. Amateur elementary school lesson for all of you. When the female butterfly lays an egg, it can take up to months or weeks, depending on the species, until it hatches into a caterpillar. And during that stage, when they're a caterpillar, their skin can shed up to 4 to 5 times just because they're eating machines and they're constantly changing. And during this time, the hardened case forms around the pupa and to protect the predators and against extreme weather conditions. And inside, the tissues, the limbs, the organs are all growing and transforming. Again, even more change. And as a result, a wonderful winged butterfly. This butterfly is not even close to what it originally looked like, right? It was almost like mush before, and now it's this beautiful thing. And despite what we may think sometimes, change can actually be a really good thing, especially when that change comes after we've invited Jesus into our life. We become, there are so many benefits, and we can become a better person because of it. Our thoughts change, and so do our actions. If you want to connect with us at all during the service, I want to tell you about crosslands.live. So if you head on over there, you can give it a scroll, and you'll find a bunch of different ways that you can get connected. Maybe that's with a pastor, maybe that's joining a small group, maybe it's information on the next event that we have going on, or maybe even getting on the email list. There's also a bunch of different options for giving, so you can check that out as well. And then you also have access to some message notes, and you can give that a look as well. And the final way that you can connect with us today during the service is by texting my number up on the screen. So Fred and I realized this past week that the last time I spoke, the message or the number was wrong, so I may have not received any messages from you guys. So it's the right number up there. So if we have time afterwards, I'll give it a read, and we'll see if you have any questions or comments. Also, every week, we like to highlight something that you can do to further your journey with God. And I want to challenge you with growing by giving. All throughout the Bible, it's talked about that people give as a response to what God has done in their life. And God blesses them, even though that shouldn't be our motivation. But God looks at the heart. And I know for me, when I'm nervous about giving, but I give anyways, there's some sort of blessing or reward. And so again, on crosslands.live, you can check out those different giving options available. So let's jump back into today's message. What's the point of following Jesus? What effect does it have on our life? So if you're following along in any sort of Bible, I want to encourage you to find Luke chapter 19. And as you know, Jesus always attracted large groups of people. So this time around, Jesus was nearing the end of his trip to Jerusalem and was heading through Jericho. So Luke 19, 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region and had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came, he looked at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be the true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. Oftentimes we read the story of Zacchaeus and just kind of push it off to the side and think of it as a kid's story. Basically, anyone who grew up going to church or Sunday school or vacation Bible school, they were taught the song about Zacchaeus being a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. But if we leave that story to the kids, Sunday school, kids camp, or whatever, we're going to miss important truths that we can learn from that story. So it was common knowledge that tax collectors were pretty sketchy. Zacchaeus wasn't just a tax collector, he was the chief tax collector, and was definitely hated among the Jews. He was possibly collecting taxes for the Romans, and that could be like being a Nazi sympathizer in Holland during World War II. People were just, they did not like Zacchaeus. And you can see this by how much he was disliked and by the reaction that the crowd had when they saw him. They grumbled when Jesus said, I'm going to go visit you and come to your home, right? Other versions say they were upset. They complained. They expressed disapproval. And Zacchaeus was not a good person. However, after he met Jesus, he realized that his life needed some straightening out. By giving to the poor and repaying four times what he had originally taken from them, Zacchaeus demonstrated change. When the truth of the gospel sinks in, when you understand who exactly Jesus is and what he's done in your life, it changes the way you live. And ultimately, it makes you a better person. When you truly understand that naturally we are rebelling against God and we reject him because of sin. And because we're sinful, we can't be anywhere near God because God's perfect. But because of God's grace, Jesus died willingly in our place to deliver us from the power and the penalty of sin and bring us back into a relationship with God. And by Jesus' death, we are given forgiveness of sin and everlasting life. And the Holy Spirit then enters our life, and we are constantly being transformed and being made holy. And if you get that, if you really, really get that, how can your life still be the same as it was before? You'll want to change. Now, just because you're spiritually a new creation, when you ask Jesus to be the ruler of your life, does not mean that changing your behavior is going to be a piece of cake. Some of you might be familiar with a passage where Paul explains this battle, saying in Romans 7, 18 to 19, and I know that nothing good lives in me, that is my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Paul is talking about this experience that Christians have and the struggle that we have all the time. And the solution to this is when we call out on the Holy Spirit and ask him to help us and give us the power to overcome those temptations and those struggles. So, when we understand what Jesus has done and we have the Holy Spirit's power with us, we can change the way we think. We're going to quickly jump to Romans 12, 1 to 2. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that we find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. It's great that we can rely on God to help us because it's so easy to get lost in the negative thoughts that we have, right? I'm never good enough. I'll never be good enough. My life doesn't matter. I hate the way I look. I'll always be miserable. And you know what? God just doesn't care about me. Instead, we combat those lies and those negative thoughts and fears with truth from God's word. I am loved. I am worthy. I have a purpose, I am protected, and I'm provided for. There's a bunch more. If we don't intentionally change our thinking, then that's going to reflect what we do. I have a quote from Kay Spencer. It all starts in the mind. Every thought leads to an action, and that is created in the mind and manifested through you. Change your thoughts, and your actions will change. Live on purpose. Now, I'm a UFC fan, which I know Fred hates, like a lot. and he thinks it's awful. But I'm reminded of fighters. They can't afford to lose focus during a fight. They can't go into the cage and be like, oh, crap, did I forget to take out the garbage? Or, like, what's on Facebook? No, if they lose focus, they're going to get bloody all over the ground. And it's not going to be fun. They're going to get severely injured, right? Now, what if we had that same focus on God, right? The focus that they have going into the cage, what if we had that on God and what he wants to happen in our life? Our lives would be totally different. My favorite verse, I have it tattooed on me, is Philippians 4, 6 and 7. But I'm going to read Philippians 4, 6 to 9. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. What other reward would you want other than peace? Instead of focusing on things that worry you or the thoughts and opinions of others, you could actually be at peace with everything that's going on in your life. Don't you want that? I know I do. I want my whole life to reflect God, and it starts with my thoughts. So I've told this story to a few people lately, so I'm sorry if this is a repeat, but God is awesome. So back in September, I was doing the annual training for the youth and kids ministry leaders, and we were taking part in an online conference where it was like a bunch of different speakers. And during the main session, there was this lady who was taking us through the practice of Lectio Divina. And basically, it's Latin for divine reading, and it's a spiritual practice of reading, meditation, and prayer intended to promote communion with God. And so you read the passage, and you meditate, you pray, and you contemplate on the passage. And anyway, so she was reading Matthew 11, 25 to 28. And as she was reading, she wanted us to just kind of be open to God and the Holy Spirit, prompting us with maybe a phrase or a word that we could just use to get closer with God. So as she was reading, I saw this image in my head, and it was where God and I were walking hand in hand. And the phrase that kept coming in my mind was, work with me and watch how I do it. This is something I struggle with on the daily, and if not daily, weekly. We all have our issues, right? but I need to remember that everything that I do needs to bring God glory. And I need to trust him with everything and be in communication with him all the time. I need to work hard, but I also need to make sure that I'm working with God and watching how he wants me to do things. Now, about the same time later, maybe a week later, God reminded me again that he provides and that I need to let him trust, or I need to let him lead me and guide me, and I just need to trust him and walk hand in hand with him. So one Sunday morning, I was worried about the amount of kids ministry leaders that we were going to have, and I just kind of got to the point where I was like, okay, I may have to turn away kids and families, and it wasn't the greatest solution to my problem, but that was what I was going to have to do, and I just accepted it. But, yeah, so I didn't really have any other choice, and I was on my way to work, driving by myself, and it started pouring rain, okay? And I kid you not, I actually started bursting out laughing while driving, and I probably looked like this guy. I was laughing so hard because it was God's way of looking out for me. The rain was God's weird way of having a lower number of kids that morning, and it actually, like, we had the perfect amount of leaders to kids. And again, I was reminded that I need to trust God. I need to trust him with everything. And I can actually say for the last month or so that I haven't worried about the amount of kids ministry leaders that we will or won't have. God's got it figured out. I almost caved this morning, but that's a different story. But truly knowing Jesus and having him a part of my life will continue to change the way I think, right? And if we look back at Zacchaeus, he no longer thought that being rich was the way to live, right? He gave back the money that he had taken. We need to intentionally think about God and focus on him. If you do that, you will start to create a habit that will get easier and easier and will result in change, like the change of your language and your actions and just everything that you do. The reality of salvation changes what you do, or does it? In the same way that our thoughts affect our behavior, so do the things and the situations that we allow into our life. The things we allow into our life will either affect us negatively or positively. And I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins so that I could have a relationship with God, but I don't necessarily live that way all the time. I get caught up in everyday things, and I bet so do you. The drama at work or school, figuring out if you're going to have time for all the extracurricular activities. Did the phone bill get paid this morning or this month? Making sure that assignments and projects and homework are all done on time. Dealing with the challenges in your family, working on your marriage, because you know what? If you don't, then it's probably going to fail. That's what everyone keeps telling. And crap, what are we having for dinner tonight? Right? Like, all of these things get so overwhelming, and we often react accordingly, which isn't the greatest, right? We often mix up our priorities. They should be focused on God and what he tells us is important. Instead of saying, oh man, I don't have time to read the Bible this morning, or today even, I have to take the kids to hockey, or you know what, I haven't had alone time in a week, and no, I need to watch my favorite show. No, you need to prioritize spending quality time with God, because if you want your kids to have a relationship with him, you need to be imitating that for them. And also, you can't just say, you know, God, I don't think I'll be able to give to the church this week or this month. Some of my shifts at work got cut, and I just don't have the money for it. No, instead, you give what you normally do, and you ask God to provide anyways. Instead of going to the grocery store and complaining that the person cashing you out is too slow, be extra kind and thank God that he's given you a job that provides for you, that you're able to provide for your family. Our actions should be changing because of our relationship with God. James 1, 22-25. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Colossians 3, 16-17. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And lastly, 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Changing our ways clearly isn't easy, as Paul mentions it all throughout his letters. And I know it's difficult. And I'm speaking to myself when I say this too, but if God is important to you, and if I understand the extent that God went to have a relationship with me, then as a response, I should want to honor him and worship him with everything in me. Now, obviously, in the world we live in, this is going to be something that we struggle with all the time, but it should be our goal. As a result of wanting to worship God, I want to get close to him in prayer and reading the Bible. And as I get closer to him, I'm going to be filled with the fruits of the Spirit. So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Like I said before, I'm going to be a nicer person. I'm going to be a kinder person. I'm going to do kinder and more thoughtful things. Now, going back to Zacchaeus, he tried to get a look at Jesus and didn't just stop when he was confronted with a challenge of being too short. What did he do? He climbed up the tree and waited there. After deciding not to give up and choosing to get closer to Jesus, whatever it took, he was able to have an experience with him that changed his life. Zacchaeus wasn't only changing on the inside, but he was changing on the outside too. And what did he do? He gave the money back, plus some. Now, I think that if we're able to recognize God in everyday life and the truth of the gospel sinks in, our natural response should be to share with people what exactly God is doing in our life. And this is something we know is important as Christians, but for many reasons, we just don't do it. Whether that's fear, whether that's just not knowing what to say, whatever it is, we just don't do it. And I've seen in myself that, like, I can notice in the good times, the bad times, the mundane times, that if I'm communicating with God consistently, I have more confidence and passion and excitement when sharing Jesus with my friends, my family, coworkers, whatever. So how does one get to that point? Well, here are some suggestions that I've kind of learned in the past month or so. God loves you. God is there, and if you really, really understand that, like, I think you need to start there. You need to really know that God loves you and that he is there with you. When you're going through a difficult time in your marriage, God is there. When you're struggling to listen to your parents, God is there. When you just lost your job, God is there. When you are thousands of dollars in debt, God is there. When you're trying to have a kid, but it's just not happening, God is still there. Despite whatever you're going through, God is there with you, and he wants you to lean in on him. You also should slow down and start your day with him. Find your favorite spot and be intentional about getting quiet with him. Instead of starting your day, you know, you wake up, you just get ready for work or get ready for school, wake up 15 minutes early and spend quality time with him. For me, I grab my Bible, journal, pen, coffee, because I need that, and I either go to the couch or I go to the kitchen table, and I just, so what I do is I have a Bible plan on the YouVersion Bible app, which is great. I write down two or three prayer requests. I write down the passage, the few chapters that I'm going to read, and then based on my reading, what are two to three things that I can apply into my life? And I think if you're not thinking about how you can apply that scripture into your life, then you're just going to forget about it, right? The next thing is look for him. For myself, at least, when I intentionally spend time with God, it's easier to see him at work in my life. When I get an amazing idea, I give God the credit. He inspired me with this thought, this idea, that idea. He realized how much I needed him that morning when I was worried about the amount of kids that I needed that Sunday morning. God cares about me and the seemingly insignificant things that are going in my life. And how awesome is that? And then the last thing is practice. It's definitely going to take practice. You're going to have good days, bad days. You're going to have days where you slept in. I slept in today. You're going to have days when you forgot. But those days get easier, and the more you communicate with God, you hear his voice, you recognize him, the more you actually want to spend time with him, and it's not so much of a chore, right? That you desire to spend that one-on-one time with him. You can't wait for that time together. And it's so easy to forget what God has done or is done in your life. So when you have that journal and you're going through a difficult time, then you can, like, look back on the things that you've recorded and get encouraged, and it'll help you through those difficult times. All right, so I have seen some text messages come through. And I'm early, so yay, I have time to answer them. Okay. Do you still need volunteers for the kids ministry? Of course I do. But again, it's fun. It is hard, but it's so rewarding. And there's a bunch of different ages, and they're just all awesome. I used to not like the preteens, but I love them. And I used to not like the pulse age either, but I love them too. They're just so awesome. They're all fantastic. I want to give back to my church like Zacchaeus did. Awesome. Oh, thank you. I'll just read it. Great message. Simple and to the point. Teaching is the cake. Helping to understand the truth is the icing on the cake. Thanks for being obedient to God's calling. So that's it. So I'm going to invite everyone to stand up. Imagine what would happen if everyone in the church really understood the impact that Jesus makes in their life. And we would be completely different people. We would have this church filled with so many people from our work, our neighborhood, that are interested or maybe even just learning about God, right? The truth about Jesus would creep into our thoughts, our actions, and would affect everything that we do, everything that we say. We would have more confidence to share about the amazing things that God has done in our life. And again, we would share that with people. Not only would that be so encouraging to just look out and see all these new faces, but I think we might actually be able to convince people that God is real because we are sharing a personal experience with him. So what are you going to do this week to help yourself find God in everyday life? Let's pray. God, I thank you that you're here with us. God, I thank you that we have your Bible to learn from, and it's kind of one of the primary resources we have to hear from you. God, I pray that this week we would look to you and try to find you in the good things, the bad things, just the mundane things, that we would strive to find you. I thank you for just everything that you've done for us. And in your name I pray. Amen.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.